You're listening to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
That's a very good choice in tunes there. Mama told me not to come, as we I was asking Joe Zepecki, our guest earlier, why he's not at the big Netroots Nation convention. And I was so glad that he gave me the correct response. We're of a grumpy old age now. We just don't go. It's getting to be on par with I would never join a club that would have me as a member.
Oh boy.
It's more comfortable sitting here. Although you saw me running away to refresh my coffee, and I'm finding with this radio show now, I'm sitting here a lot more, and so my coffee gets colder faster. So now I've already put out, this is my official putting out the call. Anybody needs a gift for me, I'll take one of those coffee mug warmers, you know, that you can leave on your desk.
I got one of those for my better half a few anniversaries, birthdays, or Mother's Days ago. I've lost track. They work great. You should get one.
Well, there you go. Hints made, everybody. Wink, wink. Joe Speck is joining me to talk. We're talking primarily about the Marquette poll, but also, you know, some of the significance of the numbers. And when they got to issues, you know what? I'm sorry. We were talking about abortion and the repeal of Roe v. Wade before the break. So let me wrap up on that. When it comes to whether people, agreed with repealing Roe v. Wade, only 30% did. 60% opposed it. And then when you looked at how people felt abortion should be legal in all cases, most cases, illegal in most cases or all cases, again, you get about a 65 to 30 split on people who are supportive of, you know, women's reproductive rights. And so it's nothing new. The data tells us nothing new other than that the U.S. Supreme Court is wildly out of step, Joe.
Followed by the Republican legislature and the Republican nominee for governor. I think this is not an original take. It's been said since the Dobbs decision, but at this point, Republicans are the dog that caught the car. Mm-hmm. They don't realize what a can of worms they have opened up among the American people who are seeing the horrifying impact that this ruling, that chucking Roe v. Wade after 50 years is doing in this country. Most recently, we're seeing this just heartbreaking story about a pregnant woman who has been told that her fetus does not have a skull that will develop, that this, you know, this pregnancy will not come to term and will not deliver a healthy addition to their family. And under the laws of the state that you know, expectant mother lives in, she cannot terminate that pregnancy, even though it has zero chance of being viable.
Yeah, the state is, you know, forcing her to go through the rest of the pregnancy and labor and everything that comes with it. And it's criminal. It's just downright criminal.
Not to mention the 16-year-old, yes, who state courts in Florida are saying is not mature enough to determine whether or not to have an abortion, but therefore are telling the world that they've decided that 16-year-old is mature enough to raise the child.
We mentioned that a day or so ago, and it's just unbelievable.
And here's what these stories, these horrifying stories are doing. They're moving public opinion, even among Republicans. Only 62% of Republicans at this point want to see Roe overturned. This is a problem for Republicans. It is dividing their party. And the fact that their Republican candidate for governor's name might as well be Tim No Exceptions for Rape or Incest Michaels. This is a problem for them. And it should be, because it's a heinous position to take. The pre-Civil War law on the books here in Wisconsin is insulting to not just women, but everyone with a brain. And it's going to cause political problems for them. That's not the most important thing, but it's going to be a thing.
Well, when you say what is the most important thing, it's this difference that is striking when they ask people, how concerned are you with each of the following issues? And for Democratic voters surveyed, climate, they were 79% were concerned about that. Gun violence, 77% were concerned about that. Abortion policy, 73% were concerned about that. When you go over to the Republican side, climate was the last on the list with only 6%. Coronavirus is in single digits at only 9%. Gun violence, less than half, only 45% are concerned about it. They're not polar opposites. They're not like a reverse, you know, mirror reflection, but they're really close, Joe. And obviously neither you nor I, you know, have the answers to, you know, national unity in a sense of kumbaya, but I don't recall seeing such a split in how rank and file, neighbors see policies so different from one another.
Well, yes, and we know why this is happening. And it's the information ecosystems and bubbles in which people live. Here's another way to look at those issues, you know, that issue set, though. Because we are such a 50-50 state, because so many of our elections come down to tens of thousands of votes, I was most interested in what are the top three issues among independent voters who are the most likely to be determinative in contests where both Democrats and Republicans, you know, partisans are highly engaged, highly motivated, and there's about the same number of them, right? And so the one, two, three, top three issues among independent voters, number one, inflation, number two, guns, number three, abortion. So now let's break down who are those three issues. Is that better for Republicans or better for Democrats? On the top line, inflation, listen, not great for Democrats right now, but getting better. The price of gas is falling. The Inflation Reduction Act just passed without a single Republican in Congress voting for it. This is going to lower costs on everything from energy to healthcare for the American people. So it's a Republican advantage issue, but it's not to the extent that it was before. Number two issue, guns. This is an issue that favors Democrats. Independents want to see common sense gun safety laws like red flag laws, which, not coincidentally, Tim Michaels, Republican candidate for governor, doesn't support, and frankly, doesn't even seem to understand. When this guy opens his mouth and talks to the Vicky McKennas of the world about gun safety and red flag laws, it becomes really clear really quickly. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He's reading off a sheet of what's been handed to him, and it is wildly out of step with the voters of Wisconsin. And then on the third issue, abortion, a political positive for Democrats at the moment. We have seen what happened in Kansas. We are seeing voter registration figures, you know, demonstrate the fact that women across this country, and in Wisconsin in particular, are fired up. They are angry. They do not like what the court has decided and what Republicans are fighting to enact here in Wisconsin when it comes to reproductive freedom. So I'm actually pretty comfortable with that issue set among those independent voters. And for the next 82 days, that's the most important thing, is how do we win elections for Democrats? We'll bring the country together on the 83rd day, and then we can tackle that question about unity. How's that, Pat?
There you go. I like that. On top of that, you know, with Democrats concerned about climate, I mean, they've won such a big victory in the Inflation Reduction Act, and we'll come back to that in just a sec. But before I leave the difference in parties, asked about their confidence in the results of the 2020 election. Again, by a 2-to-1 margin, roughly 66-32, overall, most respondents are either very confident or somewhat confident. About 50% are very confident. But over on the Republican side, it's almost a reverse, 37-62, where you've got, you know, 25% of Republicans saying they're not too confident, And then the biggest block is 37% of Republicans saying they're not at all confident about the results of the 2020 election. And I know you said already the thing about the media ecosystem. And to that end, I wanted to make note of something that I saw this morning that just kind of outraged me. It was, you know, Britt Hume, who, you know, I wasn't a fan at ABC, much less when he was really allowed to turn himself loose at Fox. And he writes about Liz Cheney's loss. I wonder if things might have turned out differently if she'd used her seat on the January 6th committee to insist on cross-examination of witnesses and a chance for the defense to present its side. And I, you know, my response on that on Twitter is like, every so often it's nice to get a reminder of why we created Courier Newsroom and Up North News. Otherwise, more Americans would think it is normal for newsrooms to do some sick crap like both sides a conspiracy to overthrow U.S. elections. I mean, if Fox News had existed in the 1960s, they would insist on rebuttal witnesses for the Warren Commission. And did JFK deserve to be, you know, assassinated? It's just poisonous, Joe, what's out there. And it just gives me, you know, more reason to, you know, have programs like this with people like you.
Yeah, I'm not sure I have a ton to add there, which makes me the worst guest imaginable.
No. So, but you know, you've listened to enough radio. Sometimes you just need somebody to say, that's right, Pat, or whoever. And then we can move on. But I just wanted to make that point that there's this tremendous disconnect in what Republicans have seen on the media and what they think of the election and the behavior that they're excusing as a result. So it's why Democrats have had to do so much on their own, except for the infrastructure bill, with not a single Republican vote to get things like the Inflation Reduction Act passed. And you've written about that a couple of times over at UpNorthNewsWI.com. You know, I loved Barack Obama, you know, tweeting, you know, this is a BFD, and Joe Biden tweeting back, thanks, Obama. I mean, it's a well-earned victory lap.
No question. I mean, some of this, the great public policy in this legislation, like finally allowing Medicare to negotiate, to use its bulk purchasing power to get a better deal from the drug companies on prescription drugs for seniors, has been a public policy pursuit for 30 years. Joe Biden and this group of Democrats in Congress were the first ones to beat the special interests and finally move forward on lowering drug costs for seniors, not just through the negotiation, but capping costs at $2,000 a year out of pocket for seniors on Medicare. We, you know, that is an incredible win, to say nothing of the progress on climate, which will reduce carbon emissions by 40% by the end of the decade. That will, you know, promote the hiring of union, you know, American workers here in Wisconsin and across the country. That will promote the use of American-made materials in these renewable energy, you know, utility-scale projects, be they solar or wind. This is legislation that is going to pay down the deficit by hundreds of billions of dollars. There is so much good on issue after issue in this legislation, and Ron Johnson and his Republican colleagues, to a person, every single one of them said, nope, put me down on the record as a no. It's bad politics for Ron Johnson. It's bad policy for Wisconsin and the United States. It really makes you shake your head. I mean, we've talked about this in the past, but just the decision by Republicans to just say, be the Dr. No's of 2022 is just wild to me, on everything from standing up for our veterans to lowering drug costs for seniors. But they own these votes now, and they're going to have to answer for them for the next 82 days.
Yeah, especially the one about, you know, like you said, capping insulin costs is big. And Democrats, again, since we're all about giving them free advice, whether they listen or not, is, yeah, you're happy about the positive impact on, you know, a changing climate. But boy, really go after those jobs. That this is a jobs bill.
Yep, it's an economic stimulus package, too.
Yeah, in a big way. Joe Zepecki, always fun. Let's do it again real soon.
Great to see you, my friend. Have a good rest of the week, and we'll catch you on the other side.
All right. Thanks so much. We will be back after this. You're up north.